RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you news commentary, Today in History, Focus and News in Brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. State-owned oil and gas company PT Pertamina orders 8 domestically built tankers. Indonesia offering two states for South China Sea. The Environmental Affairs and Forestry Ministry to take over lands owned by forest burning companies. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Armed Forces, the night troops, held a show of force ahead of a 2016 Organization of Islamic Conference Extraordinary Summit will be held in Indonesia. The Navy will deploy 10,150 personnel to secure the conference. The Navy Chief General Gatot Numantyo during the event at the National Monument Square, Central Jakarta on Tuesday said that this is a noble initiative to hold the OIC Summit in Indonesia. General Gatot has underlined that TNI's duty on this occasion is crucial in connection with Indonesian image in international society. He has given some directives to secure the event, which will be held at Jakarta Convention Center, Senayan, Jakarta, on March 6 until 7, 2016. The TNI Chief General calls on every TNI member to put detailed attention to the smaller signs which could cause susceptibility to any dangerous action during the OIC Summit. Indonesian government will be the host of the 2016 OIC Summit to be attended by 56 delegates of the OIC member state and 4 observer states. The international event is to be held upon the request of Palestinian president. To increase the stability of security and peace in the South China Sea becomes one focus of the problem that keeps being driven by Indonesian government in the ASEAN ministerial retreat, which took place in Vientiane, Laos, on 26 until 27 February 2016. The government of Indonesia assumes that stability and peace in South China Sea will boost economic growth in the region and will have an impact on improving the welfare of ASEAN people. Spokesman of Foreign Affairs Ministry Armanata Kristawan Nasir when giving information to the media at the Minister of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Monday 29 February 2016 said that there are two steps offered by Indonesia to resolve the South China Sea issue through the diplomatic process.
Ada dorongan dari Indonesia adalah supaya negara-negara ASEAN itu bersatu.
Indonesia encourages ASEAN countries to be united in dealing with issues such as South China Sea, as it was produced yesterday. There was an agreement for us to promote the unity of ASEAN, and ASEAN centrality is an attempt to resolve such problem in South China Sea. One of the issues is that we ask to be put forward is that the settlement of South China Sea issue. This has to take two steps through the process of diplomacy and respect for international law, and it was pushed by Indonesia yesterday in IMN retreat. Armanata Kristawan Nasir also explained that over the last few months, there has been an increased activity in the South China Sea, carried out by some major countries in the Asia-Pacific region and Southeast Asia, so that Indonesia asks ASEAN member countries to increase stability in the South China Sea. As noted by President Joko Widodo early in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia at the end of 2015, Indonesian interest is to push holding detailed discussion on the code of conduct in the South China Sea in order to create stability in the Southeast Asian region. South China Sea trade route is strategically located in the world because of economic value in the fight to reach $5 million annually, which is being disputed by China, Taiwan, the Philippines, Vietnam, Malaysia, and Brunei Darussalam. State-owned oil and gas company PT Pertamina is strengthening its delivery capacity by ordering 8 tanker vessels with a total investment of $200 million. The 8 vessels to be developed by domestic shipbuilders are expected to be built by the end of this year. The shipyard industry in the archipelago has been growing very slowly. Most of the shipbuilders can only develop small and medium-sized vessels. In the past, companies such as Pertamina ordered tankers from overseas because domestic companies couldn't meet the needed specifications. According to Pertamina's data, the company's biggest locally made vessel is MT Vestron, a medium-sized oil tanker produced by PT PAL with a capacity of 30,000 deadweight tons. Pertamina also expects domestic shipbuilders to increase the amount of locally sourced components in the construction of 8 vessels. Figures from the Association of Indonesian Shipping and Offshore Industry, IPRINDO, show that the country has a ship production capacity of around 900,000 deadweight tons per year. However, only 40% of the total capacity is actually being used. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Environmental Affairs and Forestry Ministry will take over lands of companies who had been charged with the administrative sanction. So far, there had been 3 companies whose license had been revoked and 4 companies charged with coercive sanctions and had promised to hand over their lands. Director General of Legal Enforcement of Environmental Affairs and Forestry Ministry, Rashid Ridho Sani, said on Monday that the lands are yet to be handed over. It requires a certain process. According to Rashid, other companies are under finalization process of sanction imposition. The handover management authority will refer to the regulation of Environmental Affairs and Forestry Ministry passed in 2015. Currently, the handover process is undergoing. The Environmental Affairs and Forestry Ministry is currently doubling the reports to enforce law in forests and land fires. Minister Siti Nubraya had previously said that one of the issues in law enforcement of the environment is regulation. The sanctions given had been minimal, which is feared that it won't generate strong deterrent effect. The government has set its sight on boosting China's investment in Indonesia by setting up a special desk designated to handle investors from the Asian powerhouse, just the world's second largest economy in spending is putting overseas. Indonesian Investment Coordinating Board BKPN announced Monday it would soon establish a China desk on par with special desk for Asian giants Japan and South Korea that had been set up previously. Investment realization from the world's second largest country into Indonesia is on the rise, with 40% of investment interest being realized last year, from 7% per year during 2010 to 2014. China's ambassador to Indonesia, Xi Feng, said in his opening remarks during Investor Forum that Indonesia was priority destination for China's companies and that most China's investors put high hopes on the administration of President Joko Widodo. The government has issued 10 economic stimulus packages since September last year to reform the country's red tape issues, including by speeding up permit processing to 3 hours for companies that invest more than 100 billion rupiah and employ 1,000 local workers. Mayor of Bandung Ridwan Kamil will go to Vancouver, Canada to meet the highest world leader invitation forum for nearly a week. Mayor Ridwan Kamil, who is invited as the only mayor of ASEAN member country, will invite the world businessman to invest in the ASEAN region. In Canada, Mayor Ridwan Kamil will also present about infrastructure business opportunities in Indonesia by using government and private partnerships. Mayor Ridwan Kamil in Bandung on Tuesday explained he will talk about Indonesia and bring 60 trillion rupiah of opportunities of infrastructure business in Singapore. Such a forum, Ridwan Kamil added, is expected to pave the way for the world entrepreneurs to get into the world investment mat in Indonesia, especially in Bandung. The last item, the 2015 annual report of the International Narcotics Control Board INCB will reveal the leading drug-related trends in Peru's part of the world, which is in Southeast Asia, include new drug trafficking routes and new psychoactive substances. The publication comes at a critical juncture in international cooperation in drug control, just weeks before the special session of the United Nations General Assembly on the world drug problem, which is to be held in April 2016. Thematic chapter of this annual report has been preferred as a specific contribution to the forthcoming special session, titled The Health and Welfare of Mankind, Challenge and Opportunities for the International Control of Drugs. It recalls that the ultimate goal of the three international drug control treaties is to protect public and individual health and welfare. The report will be launched in Jakarta by SPED representing Indonesia and the United Nations. The press conference will be an opportunity to put the report's findings in a national and regional perspective. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary, and today's commentary is on ISIS penetrates propaganda in Indonesia through the mosque. Some time ago, it was reported that one of the mosques in the area of Gunung Sahari, Central Jakarta, had been used to spread propaganda of ISIS radical groups. But in reality, the charges were not proven and cannot be seen in the sermon of Friday prayers at the mosque. ISIS propaganda allegations to the mosque in the capital came because one of the Australian ABC's media claimed to have witnessed the ISIS sympathizers' secret meeting at a mosque in Central Jakarta. ABC believes the meeting was the recruitment of militants ISIS in the capital city of Indonesia. In a statement, the Australian media also mentioned the name of the mosque. Incidentally, the Australian media reporter, who is an Indonesian national, managed to obtain access to the meeting. The core of his coverage is the description of hardline cleric Samsudin Uba's statement that Indonesia is a Muslim country, a region of ISIS, and the law of God must be upheld here, and there should be no intimidation from foreign countries. However, this information has been denied, and ABC was accused of deliberately broadcasting false news. Samsudin Uba is known to have been arrested for allegedly spreading radical ideology of ISIS in Alor, East Nusa Tenggara province in 2015. Later, he was released because there was not enough evidence. Whether the ABC news is true or not is still arguable, but to some extent, it's envisaged that without being realized, ISIS radicalism has already made inroads into the mosque in various regions in Indonesia and smuggled messages of radicalism unnoticed by the public. It was inappropriate that those religious leaders or scholars who preach in various mosques of the good turn out that beneath it all, that they have been conveying radical messages and brainwashing the nation, so that imperceptibly messages that contain elements of hostility embedded in the minds of some people in Indonesia. Time now for the people of Indonesia to maintain unity, integrity, and stay away from violence and hatred. And this is no longer the duty and responsibility of law enforcement alone, like the military and police, but the task of the entire Indonesian nation. Well, that was commentary today on ISIS penetrates propaganda in Indonesia through the mosque. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with March the 1st, 1949, the general offensive of March the 1st. In early 1949, Hamengkubuwono IX conceived the idea of a major offensive to be launched against Yogyakarta and the Dutch troops occupying it. The purpose of this offensive was to show to the world that Indonesia still existed and that it was not ready to surrender. The idea was suggested to General Sudirman, the commander of the Indonesian Army, and received his approval. In February 1949, Hamengkubuwono IX had a meeting with then Lieutenant Colonel Soeharto, the man chosen by Sudirman to be the field commander for the offensive. After this discussion, preparations were made for the offensive. This involved intensified guerrilla attacks in villages and towns around Yogyakarta so as to make the Dutch station more troops outside of Yogyakarta and thin the numbers in the city itself. On March 1, 1949 at 6 a.m., Soeharto and his troops launched March 1st General Offensive. The offensive caught the Dutch by surprise. For his part, Hamengkubuwono IX allowed his palace to be used as a hideout for the troops. For 6 hours, the Indonesian troops had control of Yogyakarta before finally retreating. The offensive was a moral and diplomatic success, inspiring demoralized troops all around Indonesia as well as proving to the United Nations that the Indonesian army still existed and capable to fight. On the other hand, the offensive had successfully demoralized the Dutch forces because they never thought that Indonesian forces can surprisingly assaulted and controlled the city despite only few hours. Over now to 1992, Bosnia and Herzegovina declares its independence from Socialist Federal Republic of Yugoslavia. Since its 1992 independence and the 1995 constitutional framework of the Dayton Agreement, Bosnia and Herzegovina has followed a path of state building while remaining under final international supervision through the figure of the High Representative for Bosnia and Herzegovina is a confederation of two entities, the Federation of Bosnia and Herzegovina and the Republika Srpska, as well as the District of Brdo. Each of the entities has its own constitution and extensive legislative powers. Last is from 1998, Titanic became the first film to gross over $1 billion worldwide. Titanic is a 1997 American epic romantic disaster film, directed, written, co-produced, and co-edited by James Cameron. A fictionalized account of the sinking of the RMS Titanic, it stars Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet as members of different social classes who fall in love aboard the ship during its ill-fated maiden voyage. It was the most expensive film made at that time with an estimated budget of $200 million. Upon its release on December 19, 1997, Titanic achieved critical and commercial success. Nominated for 14 Academy Awards, it won 11, including the awards for Best Picture and Best Director. With an initial worldwide gross of over $1.84 billion, Titanic was the first film to reach the billion-dollar mark. Well, that was Today in History. Over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Focus. Today's theme is Indonesia checks enhanced cooperation in various fields. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id. Indonesian President Joko Widodo received a courtesy call from the Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Czech, Lubomir Zaorálek, at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta, on Thursday, February the 25th. During the meeting, President Joko Widodo invited the Czech government to spread the values of peace, tolerance, and moderation together. Prior to the meeting with the President, Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Czech Republic, Lubomir Zaorálek, also met his Indonesian counterpart, Retno LP Marsudi, at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta. During the meeting, both foreign ministers discussed improvement of bilateral relations between the two countries, especially in the field of economy. Retno Marsudi explained, in addition to improving economic relations between Indonesia and the Czech Republic, Lubomir Zaorálek's visit to Indonesia is also to sign two important documents, namely the visa exemption and the establishment of a bilateral consultation forum between the two countries that has been delayed since 2007. According to Retno Marsudi, both countries agreed to revive interfaith dialogue that has been there, because before Indonesia has interfaith dialogue with the Czech Republic, in the past, Indonesia has already interfaith dialogue with the Czech Republic, but it was stopped a few years ago and now it will be turned again. Meanwhile, although Indonesia's economic relation with the Republic of Czech has increased, the potential can still be enhanced. Retno Marsudi said the Czech Republic is one of Indonesia's trading partners in Eastern and Central Europe after Russia, Ukraine, and Poland. The total Czech investment in Indonesia in the last 5 years amounted to $34.35 million, but it did not reflect the potential possessed by both countries. For that reason, both sides agreed to increase trade, including in the context of the European Union. In addition to improving political cooperation, during his visit to Indonesia, Minister Lubomir was also to enhance economic, social, and cultural cooperation by bringing 35 business delegations who visited Yogyakarta after Jakarta. Meanwhile, Chairman of the Indonesian Regional Representatives Council, Irman Guzman, supports the Indonesian government's commitment in promoting and developing economic cooperation with other countries, including the Czech Republic. He explained their presence in Indonesia is to meet the Indonesian government and to ask for support in enhancing bilateral economic cooperation and business between the two countries. He said Regional Representatives Council fully supports business and economic cooperation with the Czech Republic, especially the cooperation with the regions, because the area has a huge economic potential that has attracted other countries to cooperate. All that was focused over Voice of Indonesia on Indonesia-Czech enhanced cooperation in various fields.
Listener, welcome to headline of some national newspapers published today on Tuesday, March 1, 2016. We start from Kompas. In its headline, writes about peace enforcement is appreciated. Although it has rejected by community, destruction of Kalijodo area in Jakarta on Monday ran smoothly. Appreciation came from various parties toward the smoothness of the enforcement. But there's still some problems need to be solved. The destruction, which mobilized 23 heavy equipments, began from 7.30 a.m. up to 5.30 p.m. West Indonesia time. A number of 6,175 combined security apparatuses from Civil Service Police Unit, or SAPOL PP, police, and the military, or TN, were deployed to securing the policing activity. Media Indonesia in its headline writes about Masala Block prioritizing Eastern Indonesia. President Joko Widodo said the government is reviewing the processing model of Masala Block gas field in Arufuru Sea, Maluku. The study will be directed to promote the utilization of the Masala Block for the development of Eastern Indonesia. This was said by President after witnessing the signing of a contract to stage three strategic activities in 2016 in the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources in Jakarta on Monday. Meanwhile, Republika in its headline writes about Ridwan Kamil choose to keep mandate. Bandung Mayor Ridwan Kamil refused the opportunity to compete as candidate of governor in the regional heads election of Jakarta 2017. The man, who is better known as Kang Emil, chose to finish his term of office and realizing his promise for Bandung City. Ridwan Kamil also stated that he won't be a candidate of Jakarta governor of 2017 period. The attitude of Ridwan Kamil can be a model for other regional heads to complete their term of office. And we conclude with Tempo in its headline, writes on Basuki Cahayapurnama Ahok, is getting more difficult to be defeated. After Bandung Mayor, Ridwan Kamil declared himself failed to go forward in the election of Jakarta Heads Regional Election 2017, the chance for Ahok to re-elect it is getting larger. There are no other rivals to Ahok. Researchers from the Center for Strategic and International Studies, Arya Fernandez, said other candidates such as Yusril Iza Mahendra, Adiaksa, and Sandiago Uno will not be able to match electability of Ahok. Listener, that was today's headline.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hear news in brief read by Rahmana. Indonesian forces, their night troops, held a sword force ahead of a 2016 Organization of Islamic Conference Extraordinary Summit, which will be held in Indonesia. To increase the stability of security and peace in the South China Sea becomes one focus of the problem that keeps being driven by the Indonesian government in the ASEAN ministerial retreat, which took place in Ventint, Laos on 26 until 27 February 2016. State-owned oil and gas company PT Pertamina is strengthening its delivery capacity by ordering 8 tanker vessels with a total investment of $200 million. Environmental Affairs and Forestry Ministry will take over lands of companies that had been charged with administrative sanctions. So far, there have been 3 companies whose license had been revoked and 4 companies charged with coercive sanctions and had promised to hand over their lands. The government of Indonesia has set its sight on boosting China's investment in Indonesia by setting up a special desk designated to handle investor from the Asian powerhouse, just as the world's second largest economy spending is putting overseas. The investment coordinating board BKPN announced Monday it would soon establish a China desk on par with special desk for Asian giants Japan and South Korea that had been set up previously. Mayor of Bandung Ridwan Kamil will go to Vancouver, Canada to meet the highest World Leader Innovation Forum for nearly a week. Mayor Ridwan Kamil, who is invited as the only mayor of ASEAN member countries, will invite the world businessmen to invest in the ASEAN region. The 2015 annual report of International Narcotics Control Board, INCB, will reveal the leading drug-related trends in various parts of the world, which in Southeast Asia include new drug trafficking routes and new psychoactive substances. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. Thank you for still listening at RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with English Bulletin. Next segments, we have Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a great pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit the province of Kepulauan Riau. Stay tuned. listener, Equator line is an imaginary line drawn in the middle of the planet between two poles and parallel to the axis of rotation of the planet. The equator line divides the Earth into two parts of the northern hemisphere and the southern hemisphere. At the equator, the sun is directly overhead at noon, so that it is the same duration of day and night throughout the year, which is 12 hours. The line crosses land or territorial waters of 14 countries, including Indonesia. Indonesia is the country with the most city and island which are passed through the equator. Listener, Lingga Island become one of the regions in Indonesia that pass the equator. The equator line crosses the northern tip of the island in the province of Riau Islands. As a sign that the island is crossed by the equator, the local government builds a monument, namely Mini Equator Monument. The monument is located in the back of a hill, faced with an island and is administratively located in Tanjung Teludas, Mantuda Village, Lingga Subdistrict. Mini Equator Monument also has become a tourism icon of Lingga Regency. Most foreign tourists, especially from Europe, come to the monument who want to get sensation to stand at the point of 0 degrees latitude. Mini Equator Monument was built in 2008. It was about 5 meters with a width of no more than 2 meters. At the peak, there is a replica of the globe with lengthwise dot in the middle and a crease standing on it. The entire surface is clad in a golden yellow color. The foundation of the monument is made of cast cement covered with ceramic, which is painted with beige and green color. There is the logo and slogan in each side of Lingga Regency, namely Bertingkap Alam Berpintu Ilahi. From the monument, you can conveniently view to the sea. A fisherman village along the sampan or boat clearly visible from the top of the monument. Listener, the time that is needed to get to the Mini Equator Monument is quite long time, because the location is far from the city center. From Daik, the capital of Lingga Regency, you have to drive to the port of Seitanam. The trips then continue by using a kepompong or a local traditional boat crossing the strait of Tanjung Kelit. After a 10 minutes ride by boat, you will arrive at the beach of Tanjung Teludas. You also have to walk along the path toward the mini monument. No less than 5 minutes, you will arrive at the gate of the Mini Equator Monument. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Mini Equator Monument. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. A lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary which will guide you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is Sekolah Berasrama, Bagian 2 or in English, Boarding School Part 2. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice. You can follow after me. Fasilitas. Fasilitas in English, facility. Perpustakaan. Perpustakaan. Library. Besar. Besar. Big. Modern. 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 Lapangan olahraga. Lapangan olahraga, playground. Di dalam, indoor. Di luar, outdoor. Ruangan, ruangan, room. Kolam renang, swimming pool. Karaoke, karaoke, karaoke. Alat-alat musik, alat-alat musik. Musical instruments. Ruang makan, dining room. Kamar, kamar, room. Tiga orang, three persons. Meja belajar, desk. Lemari pakaian, closet or cupboard. Tempat tidur, bed. Mencuci baju, wash clothes. Next is a conversation on sekolah berasrama, or in English, boarding school. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Ani and Pita. Apa saja fasilitas lainnya di sekolah berasrama itu? Apa saja fasilitas lainnya di sekolah berasrama itu? In English, what are the facilities in the boarding school? Fasilitas lainnya adalah other facilities are perpustakaan yang besar dan modern. Perpustakaan yang besar dan modern. A library which is big and modern. Lapangan olahraga di dalam dan di luar ruangan. Lapangan olahraga di dalam dan di luar ruangan. Indoor and outdoor playground. Kolam renang, swimming pool. Ruang rekreasi yang di dalamnya ada karaoke. Ruang rekreasi yang di dalamnya ada karaoke. A recreation room with karaoke machine. Alat-alat musik. Alat-alat musik. Musical instruments. Dan juga ruang makan yang besar dan bersih. Dan juga ruang makan yang besar dan bersih. And also a dining room which is big and clean. Berapa orang untuk satu kamar? Berapa orang untuk satu kamar? How many people in a room? Satu kamar untuk tiga orang. Satu kamar untuk tiga orang. One room is for three persons. Masing-masing mempunyai meja belajar, lemari pakaian, dan tempat tidur. masing-masing mempunyai meja belajar, lemari pakaian, dan tempat tidur. Each has his own desk, cupboard, and bed. Kamar mandi ada di setiap kamar. Kamar mandi ada di setiap kamar. There is a bathroom in every room. Ada ruang mencuci baju juga. Ada ruang mencuci baju juga. There is also a washing room. Was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic, sampai berjumpa lagi.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a special program which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to a singer named Revo Marty. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Selamat Malam Kekasihku by Revo Marty. Happy listening.
Kasihku, selamat malam adindaku. Semoga angan indah bersama selalu lintasi nyenyaknya tidurmu. Selamat malam, oh sayangku. Yakinlah kepadaku, dirimu selalu hadirkan cinta di diriku. Esok pasti akan datang, bintaskan nada-nada asmara. Tiada ingkar tuk satu hasrat menjalin kasih hanya denganmu. Biaskan nada-nada asmara. Tiada ingkar tuk satu hasrat menjalin kasih hanya denganmu. Ooh.
pasti, esok pasti akan datang. Bebaskan nada asmara, tiada ingkar untuk satu hasrat. Menjalin kasih, oh.
The song Selamat Malam Kekasihku is a special gift from Reformati in his first album. The North Sulawesi Blooded Man was born in Jakarta on October 31, 1985. Revo, known as a singer and producer, since he was a student of primary school to the university, Revo has been active in music and often follow a lot of music competition, which finally brought Revo going around Indonesia and abroad, such as America and Taiwan. The song Selamat Malam Kekasihku that was released in 2012 has a universal meaning because the lyrics are very popular by people. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Pernah di Hati. Happy listening.
Masih jelas telah tersimpan di ruang hati ini yang telah terluka. Tak sanggup ku tuh berpikir, nyatakah saat yang ku rasakan ini. Bila memang ku tak sanggup lupakan rasa yang pergi, namun takkan ku sesali kau pernah ada di hati. Bila memang telah tak ada saat-saat tuk bersama, namun takkan ku sesali kau pernah singgah di hati ini. Masih jelas telah tersimpan di ruang hati ini yang terluka. Bila memang ku tak sanggup lupakan rasa yang pergi, namun takkan ku sesali kau pernah ada di hati. Bila memang telah tak ada saat-saat tuk bersama, namun takkan ku sesali kau pernah singgah di hati ini. Bila memang ku tak sanggup lupakan rasa yang pergi, bila memang ku tak sanggup lupakan rasa yang hilang.
lupakan rasa yang pergi, namun takkan ku sesali. Kau pernah ada di hati. Hey, yeah, hey, hey,
hey. Saat-saat ku bersama, namun takkan ku sesali.
Kau pernah singgah di hati.
Listener, in 2015, Revo Marti re-released his second album entitled Say My Name. The whole song is written, produced, and arranged by Revo himself. His second album catapulted two leading songs entitled Jadi Gila and a song in English entitled Waiting, which is also a collaboration with the duo soulmate music group who previously had a success with the song Baby, I'm Falling. Throughout his career, Revo Marti has joined with a number of big names in the music industry and Indonesian arts, such as Andi Rianto, Krishna Balagita, Lil Widianto, Rike Roslan, and Pari Likumahua. Moreover, Revo also had produced and wrote several songs for newcomer artists, including a singer Danira with the song Tak Bisa Denganmu, and also duo Emanchis, who have just released their first song album under the label The Majors, entitled Aku Melangkah Lagi, composed by Santoso Gondowijoyo, which previously sung by Vina Panduwinata in 1984. Well, listener, to conclude our program for today in Music Corner, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Kurindukan and Tak Pernah Usai by Revo Marti. Enjoy the songs and sampai jumpa.
Kurindukan pelukmu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.